Carry to order, March 15, 2005. Heidi, we've got about, what, 8 or 10 bills here we want to deal with this morning?
Yes, sir.
And we'll open a work session on House Bill 2213. Can you tell us about the bill just briefly?
Will do. Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 2213A removes the requirement that the district attorney or division of child support provide withholding services when the obligee is due only spousal support payments. It makes an exception for obligees that are due spousal support payments only and are receiving public assistance. I heard from Mr. Borden from LFO that there will be a general fund savings in this bill. I haven't received the fiscal impact statement yet.
But it's just not going to cost us money.
That's correct.
Okay. Have a motion on the bill? Representative Ackerman?
I think we have to move the Dash 1 amendments. Is that correct?
I believe so.
Okay. I will move that the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2213 be incorporated within the main bill.
Okay. You heard the motion of the amendments coming in, the Dash 1s. Any questions or discussion?
Chair Krieger? I think we moved them in the fill sub. I don't know that it matters that we do it again, but
okay.
I think it's been done.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
You want to have a motion on the bill now?
Yeah. I'll move that House Bill 2213, as amended, be forwarded to the House floor for due pass recommendation and for placement on the consent calendar.
Okay. Representative Ackerman has moved House Bill 2213, as amended, to the House floor with a due pass recommendation and to be placed on the consent calendar. Any questions or objections? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Barr?
Aye.
Representative Patrick? Mr. Chair? Just excuse everyone's not here.
Yeah, until 9. After 9, there'll be...
Isn't Thatcher and Ben this day?
I don't know if she is.
She
and Ben?
Well, she's had to go on another...
She leaves at 1.
Okay.
I don't know where she is.
Representative Thatcher excused, Representative Worth excused, Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson excused, Chair Krieger?
Aye. Okay, House Bill 2213 has passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation and it was amended. Who's the carrier?
Consent.
Were you? Consent, Alan? Yeah.
It'll go consent.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you. Open a work session on House Bill 2222.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 2222A provides that the Department of Justice has a lien on recipients' judgments or settlement amounts for all assistance provided by the DOJ. It sets out requirements for perfecting the lien and procedures for the DOJ to recover the lien.
Okay. Representative Ackerman?
Yes, so thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move that the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2222 be incorporated within the main bill.
Mr. Chair, that's already been done.
In the civil sub.
I guess you're right, it has.
Done in the sub?
I think we did do that.
All right.
I was just making sure we got it right.
All right.
Okay, then I'll, Mr. Chair, I'll move that House Bill 2222 as amendment be forwarded to the House floor with the due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Ackerman has moved House Bill 2222 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any questions? Would you call the roll, please?
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher excused. Representative Worth excused. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Sorry. Aye.
Aye. House Bill 2222 as amended moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And who is the carrier on that? Representative Ackerman will be the carrier. Okay, we'll open work session on House Bill 2230.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 2230A has Dash 1 amendments that have already been adopted in civil sub. It defines economic damages for purposes of restitution and establishes payment priority when multiple awards of restitution are imposed in a criminal or juvenile proceeding. It received a fiscal impact. There's no fiscal impact.
Okay. Have a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative McPherson.
I move House Bill 2230 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Has moved House Bill 2230 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any questions? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher excused. Representative Worth excused. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 2230 has moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and it had been amended. Who's the carrier?
Representative Ackerman.
I think I was designated as a carrier, but no, it came out of the civil.
I think that's right. You requested to be.
Yeah. Okay, you'd be the carrier.
Got it.
Okay, open a work session on House Bill 2278.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 2278 establishes four new judgeships. We added the dash three amendments in the civil subcommittee, and it has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Yes, we're aware. Yeah. Okay, we need a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2278 as amended to the floor.
Dash three.
Dash three amendments. Do I move it to Ways and Means or to the floor with a due pass?
With a referral to Ways and Means.
Subsequent with referral to Ways and Means. However that's best stated, I do that.
Okay. Representative Flores has moved House Bill 2278 as amended with the dash three amendments subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Is that right?
With a due pass recommendation.
With a due pass. Any other comments?
I have a comment, Mr. Chair. It has been pointed out to me by one of the counties that has part of my district that just to observe that the bill creates a position that it doesn't do anything for the facilities that support that position. And while this is a good bill, and I will certainly support it, that county supports this, they just wanted to have it observed that this doesn't solve completely the problem of supporting the position that we need to the positions that we're creating here, because we don't necessarily have support for the facilities.
Yeah, I think we all understand that. I know the bill was originally going to go into the dead file, and we had some conversations with leadership and got permission to get the top four, which were prioritized in, which included Umatilla County over there, where they got a real problem with meth. So, like you say, it's a good bill. Maybe we'll find a way to get some of the other parts done.
Yeah.
Any further discussion? Need a motion, please?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Gerard?
I would move House Bill 2599 as amended. Or am I on the wrong bill already?
2278, isn't it?
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Representative Flores made the motion.
Okay, you already did on it, and you had just a comment on it, right?
Yes, was
right.
A comment, yes.
And we're dealing with the creation of the judges under 278 was the bill.
2278.
Okay, any other conversations or questions? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher excused. Representative Worth excused. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 2278 moves as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
And a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
A subsequent referral to the Ways and Means Committee. Open a work session on House Bill 2599.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 2599 exempts from public disclosure personally identifiable information about customers who receive water, sewer, and storm drain services from a public body, provides certain exceptions. We need to adopt the dash three amendments. There were two amendments in civil sub, and this combined those two amendments.
Do you have the amendments there with you?
I do, and copies were made available to all the members.
What do they do?
It moves the provision in the bill to a different section in the exemptions that are created for public record disclosure, and it also provides that there is an exception for this bill for when state and federal law requires disclosure. Originally, the bill put this exception under Section 33. One of the amendments just moves that under Section 27, so a new exception doesn't need to be created. It just adds those in.
And we only need to move the dash two?
The dash three amendments combine both of the amendments, and so we only need to adopt those.
Have a motion on the amendments?
Mr. Chair, I would move that we accept the dash three amendments to House Bill 2599A.
Okay, Representative Garrard has moved the dash three amendments into House Bill 2599A. Any discussions? Do you need a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2599 as amended with dash three amendments move to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Flores has moved House Bill 2599 as amended with the dash three amendments to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any further questions, objections?
Mr. Chair, do we need to adopt those dash three amendments?
We do that.
Before moving them in?
I think Representative Garrard did.
That's moved it. Did we adopt them?
Yeah. Okay. Call the roll.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher absent. Representative Worth absent. Vice Chairman Person?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 2599, as amended with the dash three amendments, go to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And who was the carrier? Representative Garrard, you're the carrier? Okay, we'll open a work session on House Bill 2666.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2666 would allow law enforcement agencies and the Department of Human Services to make records in cases relating to child abuse and neglect available to sex offender treatment providers. Currently, it does not specifically authorize that disclosure, and sex offender treatment, as I'm sure all of you know, is an important part of probation or post-prison supervision or parole, and so this would just simply allow the law enforcement agency to directly provide those records to the sex offender treatment provider so that they can better treat the person in question.
Okay. Get a motion on the bill.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Chair. I did receive a report from Legislative Fiscal. There is no fiscal impact on this bill.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2666 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative McPherson has moved House Bill 2666 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objections, questions? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher absent. Representative Worth absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
I'm going to have that placed on the consent calendar, too. House Bill 2666 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Open a work session on House Bill 2667.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2667 would expand the definition of sex crime to include public or private indecency if the person has a prior conviction for either of those crimes. In the ramifications of qualifying this as a sex crime would be that it would trigger a registration requirement that the individual would have to register as a sex offender. Currently, a person who is convicted of public or private indecency could be considered a sex offender if they have been convicted previously of other sex crimes. This just adds public and private indecency as well. The staff measure summary did explain what each of those crimes is. I don't know if the committee needs me to go into greater detail than that. I'm happy to if you would like me to, but this just would make it a subsequent offense for public or private indecency would be considered a sex crime.
Any questions, concerns? The motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2667 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative McPherson has moved House Bill 2667 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I'll call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Girard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher, absent. Representative Ward, absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 2667 is passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I believe Representative McPherson is a carrier. Open a work session on House Bill 2723.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2723 would require an employer to grant a leave of absence to a public safety officer who has been appointed by the governor to be on the board of the public safety standards and training or on some of their policy committees. This would allow the officer to attend meetings and perform the duties of the board or committee without having to take vacation time. We did hear testimony from an officer whose agency did not want him to be able to take was going to require him to use vacation time instead of just simply being able to participate. We also heard testimony that this is a board that meets 3 to 4 times a year.
Any questions on the bill, comments?
Mr. Chair, go ahead.
Usually make a motion.
Okay. Actually, why don't we have discussion here before we go to the motion?
Do you want to have some discussion?
I do. I would like to.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I need to just kind of go back a little bit on this House bill. Originally, I was one of those that signed on the bill back with this, and then also during the subcommittee that we had with this, I had some reservations with it after having listened to some of the testimony that was given. I know that this problem has been resolved. I don't want to be in a position to mandate personnel matters on management, for one thing. And so far from what my understanding that this is only one issue that's occurred with one agency throughout the state. And as a result of that, and that it has been resolved, I don't want to, again, as I've mentioned, I don't want to mandate that on an agency for that, for management. I would be personally willing to go and visit with this chief and share with him my views on this. I mean, just from past experience and everything, I do believe that an officer should, once they've been invited to attend DPSST, being a member of a board like this, should be able to attend, and that management would fully support that. But again, I do not want to be in a position to have to mandate that. So I'm going to vote. I would vote no on this.
Any other questions?
I just would like to, Barker, clarify that of the 20-some members of that board, this would be setting up a situation where the only person having to use vacation time would be somebody of the police officer rank, and that's just not right. If we were going to create a law that said everybody from the superintendent of the state police and the chief of police of Portland had to use vacation time to appear on a very important committee that the governor designates people, that would be different, but we're not. And what this does, as my good friend Representative Olson has pointed out, this is like a one-shot deal. However, this is the kind of pettiness that causes the creation of laws like this to prevent pettiness in the future. And we shouldn't allow, if some officer is appointed and his department and his union is in negotiations over a contract, for example, to allow some chief to play games with them. These people are appointed by the governor. John Minnis's board over there, it's a very important job, and therefore we need to see to it that the fairness rules there, if you're sent to do that job, it should be on company time, not on some officer's vacation time.
Okay. I have just a brief statement maybe. You know, the opportunity for the police chief to be here and state his side of the case was there, and you notice he was not here. I think there's a pretty good indication why he wasn't here from the testimony we heard. We also heard testimony that that was 3 to 4 meetings a year, mm-hmm. and maybe 3 to 4 hours. Now, depending where the officer comes from, there may be travel time, you know, if you're in the local area here, just a few hours, a couple hours either direction. If you're from very far rural Oregon, it might be longer. So it might be. The other thing I talked about this morning with a member from the League of Cities is that in most instances, before you're appointed to that board, you've been around a while. I would suspect that you're not going to have many people who are not a police chief on the board from, for instance, Myrtle Point, Oregon, and you're a 2-year officer. So I think you're going to find these people that are more or less veterans. They have experience, and they're the ones that are attending. And if there seems to be a problem, it wasn't taken care of, I don't want to see it continue. Any further discussion?
Yeah, I have a comment, Mr. Chair. I certainly sympathize with the view my good friend from my hometown of Albany has expressed, because it's the kind of issue that you would like to think would never have to come to a statutory solution.
Right.
You know, these are the kinds of things that ought to be resolved just sort of in the normal flow of things. Unfortunately, I'd say the Oregon Revised Statutes are, to say full of would be an overstatement, but there are plenty of display material in there that arises because people didn't make the right judgments on the ground in dealing with live cases. And the issue having been brought to us, it's pretty hard to say as a policy matter that a labor representative who is assigned to or is appointed to a commission of this kind of importance wouldn't have this right. So when presented with a policy choice, I think that's what we need to do. Now, there's one point I wanted to get on the record here in full committee that was it came out at the sub, which is that this extends to the meeting times and that the prep time would be on the appointee's personal time, so that it's not as though time that should be spent out in the squad car would be reading the agenda and reviewing materials for a meeting would be done on city time. But as to the meeting time itself, having been presented with the policy choice, I think the only correct policy choice is that that is allowed as time off. I think it's unfortunate that we are brought to the point where we're making that statement as a matter of statute.
Any further discussions?
Mr. Chair.
There's a floor.
Well, ordinarily, I concur with the concept and the principle of not mandating certain situations. I think this is yet reflective of another situation that we heard discussed in the civil subcommittee this past week, and that is there are some arbitrary and capricious decisions that are made by individuals who are in positions of authority that do not meet perhaps the overriding principle that's being dealt with on an individual basis, and by virtue of whether it's checklists or whether it's individual empowerment or whatever it is. And I think that for those reasons, and as Representative McPherson just expressed, I think we need to provide the opportunity for certain individuals who might be in the position of using their discretion in an arbitrary manner, the opportunity to be a little bit more better supervisors or administrators of regulation. So I will be supporting this bill.
Any further discussion? Need a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 2723 be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Barker has moved House Bill 2723 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I think we've had the discussion. Would you call the roll, please?
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher, absent. Representative Worth, absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
No.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
House Bill 2723 moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I believe Representative Barker, you're the carrier.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll open a work session on House Bill 2724.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2724 would provide that the home address, home phone, and email address of a public safety officer would be exempt from disclosure under the public records law. We heard some testimony from some officers about situations where they were contacted off-duty by persons they had contacted in their official capacity, and that some of these contacts were rather threatening and distressing to them and their family.
Representative Garrard?
Mr. Chair, I did not sit on, obviously, the subcommittee to hear this, but on principle, I'm opposed to this bill. If it's a, I don't think we're asking anyone to do anything that any of us sitting on this dais have to do as far as making our, putting ourselves in jeopardy to something. So I don't see why we should make special exemption for someone holding a public office. I believe that's part of the responsibility you have as a public officer, is to make yourself available to the public.
Briefly, I think people have some comments, but it refers to a public safety officer. What we heard, Representative Garrard, is that these inmates or people who have committed crimes that have had a professional contact with a police officer, these people are now being able to go look up their home address through tax papers and other type records, and then leave messages on their doorstep that I know where you live and I know who your family is. See you sometime. Some things of that nature, where it relates back to the officer's work and then a threat to him and his family as a result of that information being available. Mr. Olson, Chair, do you have a comment on that?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, thank you. Representative Garrard, we had the opportunity to listen to a deputy from Washington County Sheriff's Office talk about incident where he issued a simple citation for failure to wear a seatbelt, and it was early in the morning. He received a cell phone call from his wife at home that she'd received this note that was taped to the front door from the same subject just hours later, where he was able to go and access and retrieve that information where that deputy lived at, and it was a very threatening type note. Members that I work with have also experienced similar things. So I'm in favor of this bill.
Mr. Chair? Are we talking about one person here? This is written in a, I kind of interpreted it as we were talking about one person in the bill.
Well, down at the bottom, the public safety officer, I think, is like a group of people, police officers, might be guards, members of sheriff's offices, that type of thing.
I think that casts a little different aspect of it in that respect. I'm sorry, I read what the measure does and saw just a singular public safety officer. So I was thinking it was just one individual that we were talking about.
We had, I believe, two testify about instances that day that they experienced this. Heidi?
Public safety employees were defined by statute. There was a cross-reference in this bill to the statute that would define them as certified reserve officers, corrections officers, parole and probation officers, police officers, and youth correction officers. Those are the people covered by this bill.
Mr. Chair, given that information, I withdraw my objection.
Okay, thank you. Have a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I make a motion then that House Bill 2724 be carried to the floor with the due passage recommendation.
Okay, Representative Olson has moved House Bill 2724 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. I think we've had the discussion. Would you call the roll, please?
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher? Absent. Representative Worth? Absent. Vice Chair McPherson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
House Bill 2724 has passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Olson, you'll be the carrier.
Yes.
That concludes our work today. I would mention that you're going to see a caseload increase in the near future. We've got, I think, 37 bills that the two subs and the chairs are going to look at in just a few minutes. And when this pile gets to 8 or 10 or 12 bills, maybe 15 or 20 on Friday, try to avail yourself of having looked at the bills that were not in your committee, and if you have a question, contact the chairs, myself, or staff, so that we can move through them. Thank you very much.